The scripture, I would like to look with you for just a few minutes at Romans chapter 8 speaks to that very fact. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read just a few verses at the end of the chapter here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter in verse 39. And as is our custom here at Bellingham Baptist Church, we like to give honor to the Word of God. So as we read the Word of God, if you wouldn't mind standing with me, I would invite you to do so if you're willing and able. So the Word of God is our truth. It's all the only way that we know that there is a risen Savior is because of the Word of God. So we read together here in verse 31. The Apostle Paul says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless this message and bless this time in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your son. Thank you for raising him from the dead so that we can know life eternal and that we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. Pray now that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. This life is really good at sending unexpected things our way. If I ask for a show of hands, and I won't, but if I did and ask who here has felt like they've been tossed around, beat up a little bit by life at some point in your life, we've all gone through times like that. Sometimes of our own making, but also sometimes it's just by the nature of our life. The fact that it's unpredictable. It's chaotic. There are many things against us. That's why I love this verse here in verse 31, the one we began with. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Everyone in this world is looking for an ally. All looking for someone to help get us through the dark times that we know lie in our path. The reason we know those dark times exist is because we've been through a few of them. Whether as a kid, you know, you may have had the type of parents who just put a smile on no matter what, but as a kid you still knew when times were tough and when there were sacrifices being made, or when mom and dad weren't on the best of terms. Yeah, you could tell. Maybe you had the type of parents who just had left it all out there in the open. Be real transparent. So you didn't have to look. You didn't have to search to realize that not everything goes perfectly in this life. I was the oldest of five. And when I was 10 years old, our family moved to Russia to be missionaries. And if you really want to be hit with the fact that this world is unpredictable, then take a family of five in the 90s to post-Soviet Russia. And that, real quick, we found out that life was not the same. This was going to take, it was going to take some help. We couldn't do it on our own. We knew that, of course, even just getting the plane tickets for a family of seven to get to Russia back then was, it took some help. And so my dad, being called to Russia as a missionary, he had churches that helped him get there. So we got two there, but from then on, it was one step at a time. this was before the internet. You couldn't just Google how to say what in Russian. While we were in New York, in America, still preparing to go to Russia, my dad found a little conversational, like a little, just a pamphlet, and it was almost like a flow chart for conversational Russian. If they say this, this is what you say back. I remember we memorized that thing backwards and forwards in those first 2 weeks. That was a lifesaver. But life was immediately different. We knew that before we'd even gone outside. My little sister Hannah, she was 5 years old when we went to the field of Russia. And as a 5 year old, remember her. In the apartment we got settled in, there was a TV. Well, she knew how to turn on a TV. I mean, she was 5 years old after all. So she turns on the TV, then she just stares at it for a little bit, and she goes up and she kicks it. Kicks it once, kicks it again. Then my mom comes in, sees her just like beating on it. And she says, "What are you doing, Hannah?" She's like, "Our TV's broken. They're talking funny." So she thought it was broken because they were speaking a different language. But we immediately realized you're not in Kansas anymore. Life was different. We had to adapt. And you know what got us through? So I would like to say something super spiritual. So yes, well, we just trusted God. And yes, that was the reason. But you know what God used to help us through that? Is there were people there in Russia who loved us and helped us. And then we teamed and partnered together with those people to then begin a great work for the Lord. Lives have been changed and families have been rescued from a dark world. I mean, dads that were alcoholics and didn't know anything but the end of a bottle at 6 p.m. Now they're raising their kids and going to, taking them to the park. Life-changing things that never would have been possible but by the grace of God. Because God used this fact to show us that we need allies. We need someone. Even this world recognizes it. I've more than once heard, "Well, why did you marry that person?" When there really wasn't any affection, there wasn't really much. It didn't seem like a good idea. But why did you get married anyways? Well, because I just didn't want to be alone. It's the idea of companionship that I don't want to face the rigors of this world alone. But the truth is, because Jesus rose from the dead, because we have a living Savior, we are never truly alone. Yeah. And what's so scary about death? For those who don't know what it is, have never been there, it's being alone. That I'll be somehow aware but don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know if I'm going to the same place as everybody else who's gone before me into death. It's the unknown. But it's the darkness. There's a reason that people say when I'm going, even doesn't matter what your background religiously, when they talk about the end of life, they say go towards the light or away from the light. Light has always represented an essence. Something that doesn't make you feel alone. If we were to black out the curtains here and we were to turn off the lights, even though there would be people in here, if you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, you would still feel alone. Because to be in the dark is to be alone. That's what we fear. Because the answer has been created into us from the very beginning. That we were not created to be alone. God the Father himself said it when he created Adam. Everything else that he had created up to that point, he said, it is good. It is very good. And in the very next chapter, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. It was the very first thing that God condemned was loneliness. The fact that something was alone. Now, the sad part of that is Adam thought he was alone, but he really wasn't. He had God. God was there through it all. Even God recognizes that we need people. And that's why he created a whole bunch of us, so that we could have each other, that we could have fellowship with each other as we have fellowship with him. The problem is when we try to look to others and we try to find allies here around us and forget the one who truly, the only relationship that truly matters, and that is that of our Heavenly Father. You could be the most popular person in the world. You could have everything you could ever want. But if God is against you, then you're still on the losing side. You're still going to end up alone. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? See, if God is for you, and the way that can happen for God to be for you is if you will come to him by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. We read it here. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. No one can condemn us. No sin, no height, nothing. The reason that none of these things that we read, or the things that you can think about in your mind, the reason none of them can stand against you, if God is for you, is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died for you. And because he rose again, he now lives for you. You will never be alone. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are there days when you feel lonely? Are there days when you feel distressed? Are there days when you feel like this life is winning and I'm losing? If so, you need to ask yourself the question, is God for you? Because if he is, who can be against us? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is up there now making intercession for you? You know the scary part about living this life alone? Is that there is a lot against you. Not just the things of this world, not just happenstance or misfortune. No, there is a spiritual battle being waged over your soul. There is a spiritual evil that seeks you out and doesn't want you to be on God's side, doesn't want God to be for you. The only way that evil can win is if you decide that you are going to go your way and you are not going to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. That you are going to believe on the name of, put your name here. That's the only way you lose. Because if God is for you, and he is alive, what does he say? Who is he that condemneth? No one can condemn you. Because Jesus Christ is alive, and he makes intercession for you. You know what would not be a good idea? Say you go, you know, you go, you're just you enjoying dinner at a restaurant. There happens to be a man and wife who are, you know, they're eating as well there in the restaurant with you, and there's a critical comment that comes into your head about something the wife said or did. Maybe she did something not to your liking. You know what would not be a good idea? Is to walk up to that couple and to admonish that lady in the presence of her husband. If he was 6'7" and 250, 280, 280 pounds, obviously been to the gym. You say, well, that's not a good idea in any circumstance. No, it's really not a good idea in any circumstance to be mean, but it's even less of a good idea if you go to insult a man's wife while the man is there, you know, and they're trying to have a good, nice dinner, and you can tell he's put preparation and thought into this.
that's not a good idea. So anything in this world, if you have Jesus Christ on your side, if he is up there making intercession for you, even the devil knows. I can't say anything against him. Because the most powerful being, the creator of the most powerful beings, is up there making intercession for us. You are never alone. You know why in this society, women fear to be alone? It's just the nature of the society. To be honest, when I was walking the streets of Moscow, I was scared to be alone. Everyone fears to be alone because evil likes to prey on those who are alone. You know how you fix that? You don't walk alone. And my friend today, you don't have to walk alone. Because Jesus Christ, he wants to be by your side. He wants to be for you. And he can be for you because he is risen. He's alive. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that your Lord Jesus Christ died for you? If you haven't accepted that truth, if you haven't believed the gospel, then, my friend, you are walking alone in a world that does want to eat you. You're walking alone into a spiritual battle that you are not prepared for. The only way to secure your soul is to know that your Lord Jesus Christ walks with you. And that's only possible if you believe on him. So will you believe on him today? Say, I came to church on Easter. I'm doing right. It's not about what you do. It's about what's in here. In your heart. Have you said unto God, yes, I truly believe that you exist, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that I can't do it on my own, but that because of your son, if I believe on him, you have done it for me, and I will never walk alone. Amen. This time we're going to have a time of invitation.